Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church. For those of you watching live, I'm really sorry for the delay starting. Having had a 2-week break, we've forgotten what we're meant to be doing. And now there's an echo, which is probably... Oh, no, that's okay, it's gone.
It was me. Sorry, Tim. Hi, everyone. It's Emily.
Don't worry, not only have we forgotten what we're meant to be doing... The computer had forgotten it was what it was meant to doing and had to reset something. But there we go. Good evening to those of you who are with us live. And hello. Good morning, good night to those of you who are catching up on either video or podcast later. For those of you who are here for the first time, my name's Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints and St Catherine's in Telford. And it's really good to have you with us. And tonight I've got with me, Sean. Say good evening, Sean.
Good evening, Sean.
And I've got Emmy. Good evening, Emily.
Hi, I'm on the comment stream tonight. So if you're watching live and you want to comment along, I'll hopefully read it and say hello to you. So yeah, if you're watching, text along and let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Or is it all one big community thing? And if you are with us live, well done for remembering that we were starting up again. If you want notifications of when things are happening or extra bits of content, do join our Facebook group and then we can share that with you and we can share during the week as well. If you're not listening live and you want to join in the conversation, email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll put some stuff in next week. Tonight, what did I say we were going to have a bit of an icebreaker? Oh, yes, I was wondering if anybody had stories or accounts of having been to church in a language other than their first language and what that was like. I gave Sean a bit of a heads up on this one. Emmy's Zoom went as well just before we were about to start, so she didn't get it. So give them a bit of time to think about it. I think I've had the privilege of worshipping in churches all over the world in lots of different languages. But I think one thing I like doing and is spotting words which can't be translated, or trying to work out what the word for Jesus is or Holy Spirit, because they tend to crop up kind of quite regularly. Or God, that's always a good one. And I remember going to a little church in Wales with the family. And it was Welsh language service. We sat there with the kids trying to work out. Jesu Christ was easy for Jesus Christ. We could work at that one quite easily. I can't remember what Holy Spirit and God were, but yeah, we sat there and worked out what the Welsh was for Holy Spirit and for God as the service went on. And even though we didn't know the words particularly well, a lot of the good Welsh tunes we did know, so we could sing along as well, which is always fun. So yeah, put any stories you've got in the chat of stories of having been to church in language other than your first language. What about you, Sean or Emmy?
Well, I lived in China for 2 years, so I have been to a service in Chinese. I didn't speak any Chinese. They didn't speak any English. Somebody did give me a book so I could sing along, and it was very different because it was all done on the TV there, probably because it is a state approved church. Obviously the culture around Christianity is quite different there as well, and if people want to talk to me offline about that, you're more than welcome. But it was a state approved church, so it's all by TV. You watch your Zoom in a big screen. Not that different from Shift Church in some ways. And they do the service, and then I realised that as I was in there, the service is just on repeat. So I got to a point where I was like, I think nobody else is leaving, but I'm pretty sure I've seen this bit before. I'm just going to go. So, yeah. The people were coming sort of in and out all the time, and it wasn't that different from our church because it's quite a personal experience. Nobody really talks to each other or has coffee at the end or anything like that. So it was very, very different. From our own church. Wow. But you know, in that space I could certainly find God in the world I was in. It was a space for me to connect with him, and I guess just be in his presence. So he was certainly there. So that was the thing I enjoyed about it. It didn't matter that I didn't understand the words or couldn't communicate with anyone else because I wasn't there to meet them. So yeah, so I was there to meet God and he showed up. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Sean?
I have been to churches abroad, but not in a foreign language. I said earlier, Tim, I've been South America to church, but also I remember going to church in New York to a gospel church where the service went on for about 4 hours, and there was mainly singing, was mainly what the service was, you know, made up of, just singing all the while, a full robed choir, which was amazing, really. But 4 hours, I think, was it might even be longer than that, actually. I think we ended up just having to leave because it just went on a bit too long, really. But yeah, so that was my experience, really, of going in another country.
Yeah.
Helen online, she says she's been to a service in Rome in Italy, sat there in the service. It was all in Italian. She found it very moving and very powerful. Mm. So that's lovely. Liz was saying that she went to the Chinese church in Telford and attended the services in Mandarin. I've actually done joint services with the Chinese church where we've sung the same song in English, Chinese and Ghanaian. So that was interesting. But the only thing about the Chinese church in Telford, I'd say, is at least their songs are recognisable. Like, I could, like, you can recognise that what they're singing because they're generally the more modern hymns that they have. So they're sort of ours translated. So that is the one thing going for it. But yeah, really welcoming and lovely church if anybody's interested in finding out more about the Chinese church. So yeah, I'm sure Tim could point you in the right direction. So yeah.
Liz was there because I was preaching.
So she had no choice then.
She didn't have to come. We had friends there, so she came along. It was lovely.
Oh, that's commitment.
I think I actually might have looked after Nathaniel in the Sunday school.
Yeah, you might have done.
So yeah. I think I do. I remember him very well. So that's all I was. So, yeah.
Great stuff. So we're going to take a bit of a breath. And for our kind of word, kind of just introduction today, we've got the Lord's Prayer, but in different languages. So different phrases in different languages. If you're on video, you've got a bit of an advantage because there's an English translation on. If you're listening just to the audio, you're just going to enjoy the different languages. And if you want to find out what they all are, you can find the video on YouTube or Facebook. But let's just take a pause, just to be aware of God's presence, whether we're live, whether you're in the washing up, at work, whatever you're doing. Just take a moment.
Vater unser im Himmel,
unser Vater, wat in die Himmel is.
Αγιαστείτε το όνομά σου.
Dein Reich komme.
Μα πένζει άκρο ετοιμίζε.
In the Himmel, also auch auf der Erde.
Να είσαι λίγο και να γίνει.
Gi uns i dag vårt dagliche Brot.
우리가 우리에게 죄의 지은 자를 사하여 준 것 같이
지우我们脱离凶恶
For rike ditt, på makten, på æren, i all evighet.
Amen.
În numele Tatălui și al Fiului și al Sfântului Duh. Amin.
Amin.
Amen.
Amen. It was quite strange listening to it in all those different languages, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how it sounds on the podcast. Maybe I'll have to listen back to it, because it sounds, see, I think I was distracted by the visuals. But yeah, it sounds quite strange.
That's great.
Yeah, it seemed to be very quick as well. I don't know, it seemed to be faster than you normally say it. It's really weird. I was like waiting for it to get into it, and then it's over. Right.
Yeah. You can go back and have another listen.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, we are going to dive into the Bible. And who's reading from Isaiah for us?
I am.
Oh, excellent. What are you reading, Sean?
I'm reading Isaiah 56, 1, 2, verses 1 to 8. Just bear with me one sec. The verse has disappeared.
You've lost it on the phone, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I have. Hold on.
Right. We're just riddled with tech problems today.
Okay. Yeah. So it's Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 8, and the title of the paragraph is "Salvation for Others." This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my forgiveness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. And what about you, Emmy? What have you got for us?
I've got Mark chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. So Mark is in the Gospel, so towards the back of the New Testament. Well, towards the front of the New Testament, but the back of the Bible. And it's entitled, Jesus Clears the Temple. So Mark chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. When the people arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling the animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Then the leading priests and teachers of the religious law heard what Jesus had done. They began planning how to kill him. They were afraid of him, because the people were so amazed at his teaching. That evening, Jesus and the disciples left the city.
Thank you. So I'm going to share some thoughts on this, and then we're going to have a chat about it. If there are things that occur to you as I'm speaking, do just put them in the chat and we'll pick them up. If you've got questions or comments or thoughts, join the conversation. So let's pray as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, those of you who have actually been to All Saints in Wellington, to the building, will be at a bit of an advantage here. Does anybody know what's written above the door, carved in the stone?
Okay, so you asked this on Sunday, and I was there and you told me the answer. And my answer is still the same as before I answered, heard your answer, because I can't remember, but I know it's something to do with the seats.
That's
and that the seats, yeah. I always, and I remember now you've told me that the seats were free.
Free and something appropriated, isn't it?
Unappropriated.
Unappropriated.
All the seats in this church are free and unappropriated forever. Well done. That was put above the door. Actually, I got it wrong on Sunday, Emily. I got the words right, but apparently I was corrected afterwards because I said it was put when the church was built, it was carved there.
Hmm.
That's not quite true. When the church was built, it had the old box pews, which people did rent and buy. And when they were taken out and the church was repewed, they had at the time that put above the door. And it's because, historically, the richer members of the community could rent a pew or buy a pew, so they always had somewhere to sit. I don't know, do you watch Poldark or those kind of Jane Austen kind of things where the house of the manor come and...
Yeah.
No, there's not enough spaceships in that for me.
Anyway, if you did, you would know the lord of the manor arrives at church and all the villagers are sitting in the back pews and they come and sit in the front pews and everybody has to wait for them to arrive for the service to start. And it is just anti-scriptural. And the folk who at that time reordered the church didn't want that to be part of the culture at All Saints. So they banned it and they put it in the stone above the doorway that it wasn't going to happen. And it seems to me that draws on what we read from Isaiah, because Isaiah is challenging the boundaries of who is in and who is out of the people of God. And God is much more interested in faithfulness and obedience than he is in what nationality somebody is. There's plenty of room in God's house. It's a house of prayer. It's there for everybody. It's a place of prayer, of communication for those who want to get in touch with God. And so that was what Isaiah was saying. And he uses that phrase, a house of prayer for all nations. But by the time of Jesus, some hundreds of years later, that whole intent had got kind of distorted. And the part of the temple that Jesus is in is the part that was meant to be specifically set aside for Gentiles to come and pray in. It was the court of the Gentiles, that's what it was called. And it was specifically there so people who weren't of the Jewish faith could still have someone come and pray in the temple. But it had been taken over by these money changers and livestock merchants. But there were kind of good religious reasons at the root of why they were there. So what do you know about Roman coins? Like when you see them, they're on the detectorist or the kind of time team or whatever.
Yeah, if you find one, they're worth a lot of money.
You find one, they got a lot of money. What have they got generally stamped on them?
Caesar. Yeah.
Caesar. That's right. So you couldn't use a coin with a picture of Caesar on it to put in the temple treasury for your gifts to the temple. You had to use special temple money. You couldn't use like normal marketplace money. So that's why the money changers were there, because they were changing Roman coins into special temple money so that people could give to the temple. And it's very convenient. It's like having your ATM in the back of church. So you can take the cash out, put it on the plate. And then the other thing, of course, is that the temple is the sacrifice system. And if you're going to have a sacrifice, you've got to have animals. But if you're coming from up country, you don't want to have to be bringing like your doves with you from the other end of the country. So it's really convenient to be able to turn up at the temple and buy your doves or buy your sheep so that you could go and make the sacrifice. So it was, in some senses, the origins of them being there was to make worship easier, more convenient. But it was easier and more convenient for the Jewish people, and it had taken up the space that God had set aside for the nations to come and pray. And Jesus wasn't having it. So he clears everything out of the way so that there's space for people to come and pray. And then when he died on the cross, we read that the temple, the curtain in the temple, tore from top to bottom. And that opened up the space even more for everyone to be able to come into the presence of God. Which is good for us, because I don't know about you two, but I'm definitely a Gentile. So,
this hadn't happened.
God's intent is really clear. Our spaces of prayer, our buildings and our church communities, like the, even virtual ones like this, have got to be places of prayer for all nations. So the question for me is, how can we join with Jesus in clearing away the things that get in the way? And it seems to me there's a process of identifying them, clearing them out, and then replacing them with good things and celebrating the good things. So should we have a look at Isaiah and what he had to say to see kind of what clues we can get from Isaiah?
Mm. Yeah.
And you've got the positive things that Isaiah says God praises and is looking for. Things like justice and righteousness, loving the name of the Lord, keeping the Sabbath, holding the covenant. People who do those things are the ones that God promises the joy of prayer to, whatever nation, nationality they are. And it seems to me that some of those kind of fairly obviously carry over for us. So if we're doing things that aren't just or which are just wrong, if we don't love God, then our prayer lives aren't going to be great because sin gets in the way of prayer. It's kind of simple, really. But it's not, well, I say that, but it's not as simple. It's not just that the sin itself becomes a barrier between us and God. It seems to me that when we know, if we know we've done something wrong, then there can be a tendency, I can find that I'm guilty about, I feel guilty about it, and then I feel ashamed of it, and then I don't want to spend time with God because...
You don't want to discuss it with him.
Absolutely.
Like... Yeah.
Well, there's kind of two things. There's one, I know it's wrong, but I want to keep doing it, so I'm not going to let God discuss it with me.
Mm.
And then there's the, I've done something wrong and I'm ashamed about it. And it's like, I don't know if you ever had this experience, when you know you've done something, that when you told your mum or dad, they were going to be disappointed in you, but you knew you had to tell them, but you didn't want to tell them, so you avoided them a bit. It's that kind of feeling, is you avoid having the conversation because you're ashamed of yourself. And the irony is, of course, that the only way to get over that shame and that feeling of guilt is to go to God and get forgiven for it. But then you've got to go talk to God about it, and you don't really want to do that. So there are
other things that we can put between us and God as well in that conversation. I've certainly experienced it where something hasn't been going the way I wanted to. Yeah. So. And God hasn't been doing something, and I don't want to talk about it with God in case he says no. Yeah. You know, in case he gives me a very definite no answer. Yeah. I keep asking for something, and I'm like, I'm fed up of asking for this, it's just not going to happen. But, you know, so even if it's really important to me, I'll just keep doing it by myself and not involving God in it. So, yeah.
How does that go?
Not necessarily sin, but yeah. Yeah.
How does that go? So, yeah. Does that go well, does it?
Not well.
No.
I spent I won't tell you the story, but I spent 5 years avoiding God on a particular issue. And eventually he just tackled me on it.
Very good.
Okay, so that's prayer and sin and things that can kill prayer, and doing good stuff. And they fairly obviously cover over. But what about things like keeping the Sabbath and holding on to the covenant? They perhaps aren't quite so clear, because Jesus seemed to say quite a lot of things about the Sabbath regulations and bring a new covenant. So how does that work for us? So on Sabbath, Jesus definitely did challenge the legalism that surrounded it and like all the kind of rules that meant that people... that the Sabbath wasn't doing what it was meant to do. It was meant to be a place of restoration and healing and enjoying God's presence, but actually it just got into a load of rules. And Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. So it was that, Sabbath is still important because Sabbath is still made for people. And the principles of Sabbath, something that it's distinctive about the way we live. It's something that says to God, okay, yes, you're sovereign over my time. It creates space for rest and community. Those, I think, all carry over. And I think, I mean, it's one of the reasons we started Shift Church is that we recognize that today's world, shift patterns, busyness, family life, just really mitigate us having time for God. And we wanted to create an opportunity where even if people weren't available on a Sunday morning, you had an opportunity to connect with other people and to spend some time with God to put Sabbath principles into place. Because we have this big 24/7 kind of society now, and I'll put my hands up. It's very convenient. Order something on Amazon, delivered next day. But that means somebody somewhere is working in a fulfillment center. Fulfillment centers are running 24/7. I go and talk to families, try and organize baptisms for their youngsters, and trying to find a Sunday where mum and dad are both not at work. Sometimes it can be really difficult. It can't be good for us, it can't be good for our families. But it does mean we have to give up our addiction to being able to get what we want exactly when we want it. But it does seem to me that the more we can kind of apply Sabbath principles and create them in our communities, the closer we get to God, the better we are at being a house of prayer for everyone. So that's in the community, and perhaps we can start with how we are as individuals. Do we give the best of our time to God, for prayer, for other stuff, or do we give him the time that's left over? After work and family and leisure activities. It's not about getting guilty or ashamed of these things. It's just about letting the Holy Spirit prod us a little bit and just saying, okay, best of your time. So that's the Sabbath stuff. And on the covenant stuff, there is a new covenant. Jesus died and was raised to life so that we could have a new covenant, a new set of promises with God that we could live with him. Promises, forgiveness, welcome to everybody who comes to him, who believes in Jesus, who submits to Jesus as Lord. And it's a great promise. It's a gift. It's fantastic. And we just need to hold on to it. And as we hold on to it and trust it, so our prayer life deepens. Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia. He says this: all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And he's not saying that those differences between people don't exist. He's saying that they are less important than our unity as members of the body of Christ. So, yeah, there are Jews and there are Gentiles, but you are all one in Jesus. And it's actually your identity in Jesus. There are men and women, but you are all one in Jesus. One's not more important than the other. One's not more privileged than the other. We are all one as we're baptized in Christ. And it's a really inclusive message, but there is actually also an exclusive part of our understanding of Christian faith, of what Jesus teaches, that actually all nations, being a house of prayer of all nations, doesn't mean that all faiths, all nations, not all faiths. Everyone is included in the invitation to follow the way, the truth and the life. But that way, truth and life is Jesus. It's an exclusive understanding. And it just seems to me that it's not a popular thing to say to nowadays. It's offensive to make exclusive truth claims. But actually, it seems to me that if we're going to extend the invitation and make a house of prayer space for everyone to come and pray to the God who actually hears them, that actually we have to be honest and willing to say, we don't think, uh, we We think there is only one God, and this is the God we need to be praying to. We need to come to him. And we need to be careful. We can't be arrogant or dogmatic or kind of, oh yeah, we're so much cleverer than you. But just be honest, this is our understanding, so that everyone can hear the invitation of Jesus to draw closer. And Jesus in the temple. We've talked a bit about him clearing everything out of the way. I wonder what the equivalence in our way of doing things might be. What might we do for good religious reasons that actually stops other people coming to pray? And there are other what other things could we do to be deliberately welcoming and inclusive to people of other cultures and other nations and other languages to come and pray with us? And actually, what can we learn from each other and from different cultures about prayer? Back to what we were talking about earlier about our experiences in other churches and other cultures. I've definitely experienced different aspects of praying as I visited churches in different countries and seen the way they pray. I've learned from it. And I've been thinking a lot about prayer over the summer for us as a church community. As a complete church community, we have this value of loving God and of really valuing prayerfulness. And I've been thinking about how we can encourage that. And I've been reading this book, which has got a very, very tiny title. It's called Intimate with the Ultimate by Gerald and Chrissy Kelly. You probably can't see that. And I've found it really helpful. And this isn't 100% certain, but I'm thinking that in the new year, we're going to do some teaching around this based on this. So look forward to that. But if you want to get ahead of it and you want to think about prayerfulness now, Intimate with the Ultimate, get yourself a copy. But even before we get, I will do a load on it next year, but even before we get there, we can perhaps be praying and thinking about how we can be intentional about clearing away the rubbish that gets in the way of our prayer and about inviting others in so that we can be a house of prayer for all nations. That's me. I've gone on a bit. Got off on one. Anyway, I've crossed some stuff out as well. Didn't do everything I did on Sunday. Anyway. So,
there's a lot in that. There's a lot to unpack, isn't there?
There's loads.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So if you've got questions or comments, put them on the stream. Send us an email. But we'll have a bit of a conversation now. So, Emily, lots in there. What kind of struck you particularly?
Well, it was really good to hear it for a second time, actually, because I did think about it a bit different, if that makes sense. The one thing that I really like about the whole thing, and I'm just going to say, first of all, I have read that story so many times. I have taught it to Sunday school children so many times about Jesus clearing away the temple. We teach it all wrong to children. I'm like, I was teaching it to children and I read it. And generally, when you read the Sunday school thing, it's not just me. This is the way it is. And they always talk about that he's clearing it away from the temple, that it sort of shows that Jesus is a human being and he can lose his temper and he can do this. And I'm like, really? And you know, that he's infallible, you know, even Jesus can get angry and he turns on these people. But we never talk about why he did it. So, yeah. And you know, having heard it from yourself, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm 40 something and I've learned something new this week. So, yeah. So what I would say is I've been teaching it wrong to children for years. So that was really good. I've definitely learned something new. But yeah, I thought it one of the things that really struck me is this idea of the Sabbath and the restoration and healing. And I think you're right. I think we've really lost that culturally in the UK about what that means. And I know you were talking about other churches on Sunday. Some of the other members of our church were talking about how they're there all day in church, you know, in their respective countries. Very common in African churches that they will start all day and it will go on all day. But actually, that's because they want to spend all that time with God. It's not that actually, you know, the service is 3 hours long and people stand up and, you know, and do a 4 hour service. It will actually be, I know some of my African friends talk about they go to start with the cleaning. So they go to start with the cleaning of the church And then the organ person turns up and they will start playing the organs. The ladies start singing hymns along with it as they're practicing. And literally, and then they'll have a meal together. They'll prepare a meal together. They'll put the meal together. And literally, they're all day spending time with each other and with God. So it's, yeah. Although they say the service goes on for like 6 hours, it's actually really different culturally because they're spending time together. They're really doing that restoration and healing that the Sabbath is about to me. So it's very, very different. So that was just something that really struck me. And I know last year, just before we went into lockdown, it must have been around January, I listened to a podcast. It was an American podcast all about the Sabbath and about reclaiming the Sabbath as a family and as a mom. And it was about reclaiming a meal time where actually you do spend time with God as a family and doing that. And I found that really helpful when we went into lockdown, because we didn't have church, we didn't have a connection to God at the beginning, you know, we didn't have online church, nothing happened at the beginning. And I found it really helpful. So we had breakfast, and me and Fraser love making pancakes. So on a Sunday morning, we'd have what we called home church, to explain it to Hannah. But basically, we just listened to church music, did our Bible study if we wanted to, watched videos, watched Lego videos of Bible stories, you know, and just spent time together as a family, eating, thinking about God, talking about him. Not particularly structured in any way, but it was really, really good that got us through those first couple of months when nothing else was happening. So that was our way of reclaiming the Sabbath at that time. We have lost it now, like everyone else. You get out those habits, don't you, as families do, and you're doing something else, and you know that you get, you know. So we're not doing it now, but it's something certainly that is interesting to me, and thinking about how could I build that time back in? How could we do that as a family? Because I think it would be different way of thinking about spending time with God, perhaps in your own family, or being intentional about it. That sort of challenged me a little bit today.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean?
Well, I was a bit like you, really. I've learned something there about the changing of the coins and that in the temple. I didn't really know that at all, so that is something I've learned. But I think that struck me about, you know, the Sabbath, how it's now, you know, with people working on Sunday, you know, as we know, the Sabbath doesn't necessarily have to be on a Sunday. We're doing shift church, which is giving people an opportunity to spend time with God through like this kind of medium, if you like. So it's just ways of reintroducing to people that actually, you know, okay, it doesn't have to be Sunday. It can be any day of the week, as long as you have, a channel or a vessel in which you can spend time with God, you know. And I think that's trying to get that message across is really important. How you do that, I don't know. But I guess social media obviously is very good at doing that for people. And as we've discovered that during lockdown, as Emmy said, you know, the internet has played a massive part in people being able to access church services and, you know, various things like that. So I guess the internet has become the kind of, you know, almost like an opportunity to people to have Sabbath, I guess, with, you know, if you like, if you look at it that way. It is certainly, you know, Sunday mornings, people don't necessarily have to go somewhere now, do they? They can just sit in their pyjamas you know. I know you don't agree with that.
Do you find, though, that in amongst you thinking, oh, do you know what, I'll be with God for 5 minutes, I'll just turn on this video, I actually end up watching a video of cats, something like that. That would be the danger to me.
Do you know what I mean?
I would just say, oh, that really funny video on YouTube, I'll watch that.
I'm not saying it's the right one. I'm just saying it's just, we, you know, inadvertently we've provided opportunities for people to spend time with God, whether we like it or not. But But then again, and then the other thing that struck me was about making the church inclusive, as obviously Jesus, as you said earlier, he wanted the church accessible to everybody. And again, that's a real challenge, because I think churches, people tend to gravitate towards churches where they feel culturally accepted, if you like. So that is a real challenge, because I guess if you're a church that is pretty much regimented in how you do your service, you are going to exclude certain people that can't access that. So it is quite a minefield, really, in terms of trying to make it accessible to all. And how you achieve that, I don't know. And it's a real challenge for that.
I think when you're talking about that, though, I think that there are lots of different, we're really lucky in the UK in terms of worship, you know, in terms of being a Christian and being able to worship. So there are lots of different churches in the UK who have grown up. If you look at the setting now, I'm not talking in the past, but if you look at the setting now, there is lots of choice. And I think half of it is making somebody feel welcome when they walk through the door. You know, it's allowing them to sit where they want, or inviting them to sit next to you. Yeah. You know, or you know, when somebody walks in, say, oh, you know, saying hi to me. I mean, there was somebody sat in front of us at church the other week, who had a small child, and I was going out to Sunday school, so I wasn't leading, but I thought, do you know what, I'll just go and say, would you like to come? Do you know what I mean? As another mum taking her own kids there, would you like to come? And that person said, oh yeah. And then afterwards she came and thanked me and said, do you know what, we were just about to walk out, she said, and she'd come with her granddaughter. She's been worshiping at All Saints for years. I've never spoke to her before. And she was just about to walk out. She brought her granddaughter, who believed she was a Christian. They wanted to know more about God, and ended up sat in the service absolutely bored because she was 10. And as it happened, she came outside with us, absolutely loved it, because we were building a big bee house in the day. And you know, she came over after and said, oh, thank you so much for that was great, we were just about to walk out the door, because they didn't feel connected, if that makes sense. And I said, no problem. I said, you know, starting up again, if she ever wants to come again, just let us know. You know me. And what's your name? And my name's Emily, you probably sat in church with me for 3 years, never spoke to you. I think half of it is just being welcoming, saying hello. If you don't know the person opposite you or next to you, just saying hi, you know, what's your name? I know we've not spoken before. And that's really difficult, because we've had COVID. Nobody wants to speak to anybody who they don't know who's outside their friendship circle. It is a real challenge for us, actually, to do that. So I think if anything, that's going to be a massive barrier to us.
Oh, definitely. I think also the grandness of how, you know, a lot of buildings, because they look so amazing and big and all that, people stand outside, I think, oh, this place is really fantastic, am I really good enough to come in here, kind of thing. And I've had that conversation with people in the past, you know, oh, I don't feel I can come in because I don't feel good enough. I need to do this, that and the other before I can come in. I need to, you know, and actually it's about saying to them, actually, no, you just come in because you are accepted just as you are. But it's getting over that barrier of people, you know, realising that actually a church is a place for all, not just for people, you know, this misconception that you've got to be a certain person or a good person or whatever, that is a massive barrier for a lot of people.
So certain churches are better at welcoming people as well, making them feel inclusive. I don't know what the magic formula is, but no. I think in some ways, if you're sat in the congregation, it feels like your church, then it helps if everybody feels that's their responsibility and not just the person at the door, and not just the minister who has to go, or the vicar who has to go around and speak to everyone, because he doesn't have time. <You know? laughs> I think for us as Christians, it is about, and it's easier for some people than others. It's probably easier for me, because I like to talk to people. If it was for my husband, so I think you know, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have we got anything on the screen there, Emily?
Yeah, certainly, sorry. Ali was saying that, hi Ali, she's saying, keeping the Sabbath really hit me too. I know for myself, when I set aside time for God, I really benefit from it, but it's being disciplined about that. And I constantly have to work at that. So yeah, and I agree with that. It's not something, at times in my life where I've spent more time with God, I always see the benefits. But then I get really busy and life gets messy and things get difficult. And yeah, so I definitely wrote on this piece of paper, intentional on big letters. So yeah, am I being intentional? That's something I'm going to take away and think about and maybe think about it a bit more. So yeah.
Good stuff. Should we have a bit of music as we kind of reflect on these things?
Sounds good.
Cool. Sounds good.
Child of God.
that song. So, Sean's going to lead us in prayer. If you've got things that you'd like us to pray for, do put them on the comment stream. Emmy will pick those up or email us and we can pray in the week for you. So, Sean, over to you.
I'm going to pray using the passages I read from Isaiah. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take the first couple of words as the basis of the prayers, which basically fits in with what you were saying, Tim, with the idea of salvation is for all. All are welcome in church. And we are to encourage one another to do the right thing. So let's pray. Maintain justice, do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand. Thank you, Lord, that you desire justice from us. You desire us to do what is right. You desire us to ensure that the salvation of others is made clear, that it's in you, Lord, that our salvation is, Lord. And as we meet together in church, as we go to work, as we live in our homes, that we would encourage others to know you, to know what that salvation is, to know that your salvation is free, that it comes in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we pray for your justice in situations around the world where it's difficult to see justice. I think particularly of Afghanistan. Our Lord, would you bring peace with justice to that country, please, Lord? Amen.
Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Lord, how amazing is that, that we are blessed if we do this, Lord, that if we keep the Sabbath, that it's what you desire for us. It's our opportunity to focus on you. It's our opportunity to give to you our time, our effort, our prayers, our thoughts. Lord, it's not so easy, as you know, this day and age, to just do a Sunday where we can meet with you, Lord. But thankfully, because of the internet and other mediums, that people can access services, they can join with others at different times of the week, Lord, for their Sabbath. And we thank you for that. And I just pray that as we do Shift Church, Lord, that this would be something that we can encourage others through this medium, through this opportunity to talk about you and to encourage others to have this time as their Sabbath. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I pray for those who feel like they're trapped into shift patterns that are not good for them or their families. They feel like they don't have an option. I pray for us as a society built around every adult going out for paid employment and 24/7 fulfillment of whatever consumer desire we have. And Lord, we know that that isn't good for us. We're addicted to it. So Lord, would you break through in the society, show us a different way of living that enables people and families to flourish, please, Lord. Amen.
Amen. and finally, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, all who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Lord, it's fairly obvious that you're saying that we all are accepted in church. All are accepted within the community, not just the building, but to meet together. And that's what you desire for us, Lord, that no one should be excluded, that we are to bring our offerings to you, that they will be accepted, our offerings of time, money, effort, to be able to serve, to be able to do things like this, like shift church, Lord. These are all acceptable to you, Lord. Thank you that your house will be a house of prayer for all nations. That is what you want it to be, Lord. No one is excluded. Thank you for that carving in the front of All Saints that says all seats are free and unappropriated. How amazing is that? That should be the front of our church, Lord. We just pray that that would be something that is carried out and encouraged, and that no one would be able to stand at the doors of All Saints and feel not good enough, Lord, that all would be welcome, that we would play our part in encouraging all those, everyone to come in and feel part of it. And just thank you for Emmy's effort with talking to that lady and her daughter and encouraging her to be part of the young children's groups and that, Lord. That was really good, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Thank you for her boldness in which to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to lift up to you those people tonight who actually might find going to church experiences that they've had in church in the past that they haven't been positive ones, and they may be barriers to them. They may not feel like church is an inclusive place. They may not feel that they are accepted or wanted or even good enough to walk through the doors, Lord. And I pray for them tonight that they may know your love, that you will send them a nudge this week, that you'll send them or give them a place where they can get to know you, Lord, whether that be in a building or with a Christian friend over coffee or online, Lord, that those people who need you, who need to hear your word, and perhaps they've had negative experiences that are holding them back, that you will just... We know that you are a Lord that does not give up on those people, so that you will give them the nudge that they need, Lord, that they will be able to see you clearly through whatever barrier that they are experiencing, Lord. And I just lift them up to you. And on the times that I have got it wrong, Lord, or the church has got it wrong, you know, I'm sorry. We don't always get it right. We don't always make people have that great welcome. So I lift that up to you, Lord. I pray that those people who may be feeling like that, that you just give them that nudge, give them that space, give them that person who will come and just make them see your love and your warmth, Lord. And that would just, for us as your people as well, for your representatives on earth, that love and warmth would just flow through us to those people who need you, Lord. And that they will see All Saints and those people who are your vessels, Lord, as welcoming as your love, and just that your word will not be about that, there will no barriers between them and that, and your love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. It's been lovely to spend some time with you. Those of you live, good to see you this evening. Good to spend time with you, Emmy and Sean. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Great stuff. So we've overrun a little bit. We did start a bit late, so that all makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Catch up with you again next week.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. Say goodnight, Sean.
Good night, Sean.
Say goodnight, Emily.
Good night to everybody.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.